Money talks.
Money talks.
Money talks.
Money, 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 money.
This is Money Talks. Got the good Dr. Gene here with us, Ben Crow, and myself, Teddy Parrish.
And we're here, and we're on to your questions. We're going to spend 5 minutes, just a quick 5 minutes, Ted, then we'll go to some questions.
Before we do that, Gene, they could reach us during the week at 1-855-429-9166, or you can send us your questions at drgene@hensler.com.
And it's 770-429-9166.
Local.
Local. Yeah. On that. Yeah. And we'd be happy to answer your questions on air or off air. We'll give you a call or something like that.
Yep.
That sort of stuff.
Let's do it.
Dane and Kathleen from Marietta. Why don't you take this one?
Okay.
I'd like to use my pension in a way we can take advantage of the first-time buyer rules. Should I cash out and fund a Roth IRA or roll it into a traditional IRA? I have $8,000 in contributions from a vested pension with my old employer that is earning next to nothing. So you can pull money out of your retirement plan to buy your first home.
Out of your IRA, your qualified plan. So you've got exceptions.
So she's got a vested pension plan.
Now, if she rolled that over, if she could take a lump sum, roll it over to an IRA.
Roll it in the IRA, and then
Could look at, you know, doing a first-time home buyer exemption. Now, what does that do? I mean, that gets you out of a penalty situation. I mean, there's an exception there.
Do you have to pay the tax on it?
You do. If it's coming out of a traditional IRA, it's still taxable income to you. So,
Careful. The 10% penalty doesn't apply.
It's an exception to the penalty. If you're less than 59 and a half.
So you're going to have to pay taxes on $8,000. Well, depending on what her tax bracket is.
It depends on her tax bracket. Right. But she will owe income tax on that. Now, and this is a per person. So if a married couple, you know, two people can do it. It applies both to, you know, you have Roth IRA. So she could also, you know, take that money, or if she had money
in a Roth
IRA.
Well, she could pull a contribution out of a Roth anyhow.
She could, if it's a qualified. Well, I mean, if it was in there for 5 years, then, I mean, otherwise, if it's not, it's a disqualifying distribution,
okay.
And therefore there's some other rules involved there, too.
You're speaking of county needs to be a CPA come out.
I know.
That's all we need to know. So the bottom line is,
don't make a mistake.
Roll it into the IRA, and then you pull it out of the IRA.
Correct. Don't make a mistake. I've seen clients before, they come in, they say, I took money out of my 401k to buy a first-time home buyer.
Uh-oh.
It didn't work.
Yeah. No.
So,
boy, penalty and the tax.
Right.
Okay.
Wow. And maybe ask your tax advisor first before you go do this.
I would think in most cases, people wonder why I don't really need an accountant. I just fill out a simple short form. You better have somebody you can ask questions about, you know, when taxes come along. Jacqueline from Kennesaw, what do you think of the Carlyle Group? It's been in the $30 to $38 range since the beginning of the year compared to when I first started watching it in 2012.
It's only been public 2.5 years. This is one of those hedge fund private equity companies. They specialize in buyouts, and they have a bunch of hedge funds, funds of funds, and it really isn't a good way to get a grasp on how fast the street expects them to grow, because there isn't much research coverage.
Yeah.
And I also think that a stock
hedge
like
funds
this,
it's been a bad couple of years for hedge funds.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. They've done well in real estate. But with a company like this, Gene, there's always the problems with transparency. You know, if you're an investor in a hedge fund, you have transparency issues. If you're an owner of a hedge fund company, you really have transparency issues. So I don't.
You're uncomfortable with owning that stock.
Very uncomfortable. It has a great dividend yield, 5.89%.
But you don't know where that's covered or not.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would avoid.
Yeah, if you got a trading company and they're paying a dividend,
right?
You know, a couple of bad trades, and there goes your dividend.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Or if they're not providing good advice to these multiple, if they're advising a bunch of clients and they haven't hit a bad streak,
yeah.
I mean, you could lose a bunch of clients. You know, providing that advice.
So. SanDisk, Teddy, what do you think of that company?
I like SanDisk. I think it's a bit ahead of the market, 19 times earnings, but this is a company that makes flash memory for all kinds of products. When you turn your phone off and you repopulate it, you cut it back on, it still maintains all of the numbers. And
that's the flash memory.
Flash memory also for the memory chips for cameras. They have a big position in that market. Also, those big storage units, like you can buy from Costco for 1 terabyte for $75. This company has a lot of market share in that area. Yeah,
they said they bought it for $59 in 2013. Should recognize my gains.
I think that's a question of also just portfolio management. If they have a big position, if it's over 5%, I would trim it back. But there's no reason to get rid of all of it. It's a good company. It has a 15% plus earnings growth and, you know, in a good space. A lot of demand for its product.
It sounds to me like you ought to keep that stock unless it's disproportionate a part of your portfolio. Cash is from Roswell. I'm planning to retire before I'm old enough to take money out of my 401k without penalty. Should I still put money in my 401k?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll elaborate a little bit. But, you know, when people do retire earlier before, you know, you think of 59 and a half, right? That's the magic age, you know. Mm-hmm. Take money out before then. There's a couple of exceptions, but, you know, you're going to have to pay that penalty.
Or buy your first one. Even 401k, you can't. You got to move it into an IRA.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, separation from service. There's some other exceptions, but it's always nice to have, you know, a little bit of money in both buckets. You know, that certainly gives you, you know, in terms of taxable accounts and non-taxable accounts. But with your 401k, you don't want to necessarily forego that because of matching contributions. I mean, there may be free money out there on the line. So you certainly want to take advantage of that.
My suspicion, if someone can afford to retire before 59 and a half, they probably have considerable assets outside.
I would think so in that situation.
In that case, why not keep putting it in the 401k?
Right. And then you're going to use those non-taxable assets kind of to get you over the bridge.
That's right.
And, you know, to get you to some point in the future where you may have other income kicking in, Social Security.
Hey, listen, I'm taking money out of 401k. I have to because of my age.
Right.
I'm still putting money in every year. Okay, and it may sound a little counterintuitive to you.
Right.
But I'm trying to shelter as much as I can. And there's nothing I can do about having to pull it out.
Absolutely.
You know, makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
So it's always, you know, don't pass up free money, and it's always good to have a blend of that, especially when you're
tax deferred is good too. Right.
Oh yeah, well, getting a current income tax deduction for that too. So.
Cade from Swanee, what are the fundamentals of stock analysis? I can refer you to
right?
I could refer you to a book by Graham. The Fundamentals of Stock Analysis. That is the name of the book.
This is a very long and complicated topic.
Well, you got 6 minutes.
We've made it. We've made a career out of it here.
That's right. We've milked this.
We'll give you a brief overview. Fundamental analysis is basically an in-depth review of any stock, any company, and there are really two sides of it. You got to figure out basically. The financial condition, operating efficiency, and the performance of a company. But there are two sides of it, qualitative and quantitative.
Right. Right.
Qualitative has to do with the company. It's what it does, its competitive advantage, the barriers to entry to its industry, to competition.
Yeah.
You know, what makes it special?
You have to know. Listen, for example, if you were saying, I want to do an analysis of General Motors, all right? Well, one of the things you obviously want to look at is make sure it's strong enough and can make it. That's questionable, in my opinion.
Right.
All right. But there's also the qualitative analysis is how is General Motors going to do relative to Mercedes, to Audi,
looking
to
at their
Fiat,
product line,
their product line is it up to date? And there's some value-added judgments, and you've got to do some research into the general industry it's in order to determine whether I'm going to.
Yeah.
In fact, I would go the opposite way. Rather than fundamental analysis of a stock, I would start with an industry that really is attractive, that is growing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then I would look for companies
within
that industry that were in. Yep. Here's where it comes in with fundamental analysis. Are there numbers? Are there numbers good? I mean,
yeah, that's the quantitative aspects of it. When you look at how fast it's growing its earnings. You know, it's valuation, price to earnings.
Think about balance sheet, income statement, all that's qualitative stuff.
Financial strength. Right. You know, what's its debt to equity ratio? I mean, what's its cost of equity?
Want you to understand something. We're making this as difficult as conceivably possible because you need to hire a professional. I know one, Hensler Financial. But I'm serious now. If you want to get into this, you're going to have to spend some time and some research, and it's a doggone good hobby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And there's a ton of stuff online. There are textbooks out there. Here's what I would start off with. go buy Security Analysis by Graham and Dodd.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
All right?
That's it.
Look for it in a used bookstore or whatever. Read that book, and it'll give you some idea, and you're going to say, you're going to start beating yourself with a brick. Say, I don't think I want to go through
this. I don't think people understand how deep of a dive that being in this industry makes you take.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because it involves all the, everything in life. I mean, in society. I mean, if you look at, we know a little bit about everything, don't we?
Yes, unfortunately. Yeah, and the fact is, when you've been doing it for 20 years like Teddy and, oh, God, for me, 50 years, you look at some and say, oh, boy, that's a red flag. I'm not going anywhere near that. I remember one time I bought a company like that. Oh, boy.
I'm not going to do that again.
Oh. So you got to build up some calluses, you know, because let me tell you this right now, also in this space, this is, every stock you pick ain't a winner, folks. Mm-hmm. And you got to learn that you're going to lose on some of these things. And
right.
You have to have the ability to cut your losses, get rid of your pride.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And by the way, that stands in the way of most people. Psychology is they'll buy a stock for $10 and it'll go down to $6 and they'll wait and they'll wait and they'll wait. They may wait 10 years till it gets to $10.01. Mm-hmm. Then they sell it and they made a profit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it goes to 30. That's what Walmart did to us.
Well, we
held it forever.
Our worst experience was with an insurance broker. What was the company?
Marsh & McLennan.
Marsh & McLennan. This is a company Teddy and I had looked at for 3 or 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Really a good. It's a broker of insurance and first rate and everything else and stuff like that. I knew a friend of mine who knew the guy who was a big stock owner on it. You know, Dave's roommate at Princeton was in this thing and everything else and stuff like that. So we looked at it. We said, all right, let's pull the trigger. We bought it at, I'm just going to make a number, 50. The day we bought it, the next day it fell to $30.
Yeah.
And we sold it the next day. We lost like 40% on a stock in one day.
Yeah, it happens. And then you have a company like Omnicom who it falls 35% on no news. And nobody knows anything. Any reasons why it's down. And you're like, we got to sell it. I mean, so
I don't care. Somebody knows something, and we don't.
The stock market is called the great humiliator.
Yes,
and because one day we'll humiliate.
And that, by the way, that's another reason, folks, not to concentrate your portfolio in any one position.
That's right.
Scatter it out because you know what's going to happen? You're going to have that thing that happens to you with that one stock, and then one day you're going to wake up and find a stock that you own. Somebody has just made an offer on at a 40% over the market price. And you're going to smile and you're going to think you're the smartest person on earth. So you got to own a number of stocks in order for that to happen.
That's right.
Yeah. Right?
That's right.
We'll take a short break right now and we'll be right back.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.